Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you have done for us what we couldn't do ourselves, Lord, and you guided us to set it up right. And so, Father, we just pray that you would be with us today and guide us, Lord, in this sermon. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry, but I knew that when we had got set up and I had walked in the back and they had already started singing, and I realized that the one sermon that was on there was from last week, and so I had to get today's sermon on there. If anything happens to me, you got 20 more sermons here. We got actually, this is 153, and we're up to 176 in the pipeline. So the Lord has been very, very gracious, and I really appreciate everything he's done for me. And at the very end of this sermon, I'll tell you what happened to me this week. And it's really wonderful to know that God has everything under control, from Satan's Eden 65, he said, there's a disappointment. See, that deceitfulness. That's where I'm misunderstood. It's not that I want to be different. I don't want to be different, but I've got to be honest. And that's the whole thing up here. Look, I'm not up here to please anybody, but I'm thankful that you are pleased. But, I'm not here to hit the tambourine and say, hey, it's a message, 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 message. Everybody's in the message. Is going to make it? They're not going to make it. I'm sorry. There's 2 million people in the message, so it's about time you get it through your thinking that it's not everybody in the message, okay? Now, if there be, 500 maybe or 5,000, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you. But I do know this, that Brother Branham said that the ones who will make it are the ones who are seeing things as they come to pass. So, and that's the evidence of this message. Actually, that's the evidence of the Holy Ghost, is that you can see the things of God and you can see them as they're manifested, okay? So, I have a message. He says, I have a message, and that must go to the people. Makes it very much misunderstood amongst the people. They think I'm against everybody. Wow. Prophet said the same thing. So don't think I'm crazy when I'm up here. He's saying the same thing. They think I'm against everybody. All right? If they only knew. I'm for everybody and try my best to bring them what's the truth, just as it's laid on in my heart and the way it's laid in the Bible here. So, the thing is, if you give the word honestly, people are going to hate it, because it ruffles their feathers, all right? But that's what we're here for, is to get our feathers ruffled, make sure that there's no loose ones so we can take our flight. And God proves that to be the truth. So there's nothing else can be done about it. So men either they look at it or they don't. See, they don't want to see it because they've already sold out. Sold their birthright to some organization, some denomination, to tie their birthrights to get to heaven upon the basis of some organized religion, which Satan is the head of every bit of it. All right? God never did have an organized religion. Never did. And they sell out to that, where a bunch of men interpret the word and say it means this and it means that. God needs no interpreter. I hope you just etch that into your mind. He does his own interpreting. He doesn't need anyone else to tell him how to do it. He's sovereign. But let it be clear, it's not interpretation of the word on the word to point out the manifestation of God's word. In other words, God interprets it by bringing it to pass. So when you see it brought to pass, then you say that is the interpretation, okay? And that's, and listen, if God brings the word to pass and then you see it like he said it in the Bible, and you see it today in front of you, and that's the wrong interpretation, then that's God's fault for not interpreting it right. See, and God can't not interpret it right because he's not a liar, that he can lie, okay? So in other words, you got it right. All right. He does his own interpreting. He doesn't need anyone to tell him how to do it. He's sovereign. But let it be clear, it's not the interpretation of the word to point out the manifestation of God's word. In other words, see, there's people out there that say, well, I don't need anybody to tell me what Brother Branham says. Well, just a minute now. Are you telling what Brother Branham says? Well, you certainly are by, you know, pushing play and everything else. You're telling the people that this is that, and actually, but the people don't see it in the reality. And so when you point out the reality of the word, that's exactly what he said. If you're just quoting the prophet, then you could look at it as a 50-year-old message to a 50-year-old people who are probably, most of them are passed on by now, and you wouldn't understand that it's for you. But God said, I am that I am. He didn't say, I was that I was. He didn't say, I will be that I will be. I am that I am. And that's what you and I have got to come to the place where you realize if we are going to be in the image of God, we are what we are. You can't change us. You can't, you know, a leopard can't change his spots. So if you don't like somebody because something they do, look at the things that they do that you do like. Then focus on those things, okay? Don't focus on the things that you say, well, I wish you was different. I wish you would not point out things like this and that. Listen, you can't help yourself. You are what you are. Just be honest. That's why people hate, you know, President Trump, because he's, you know, he's at least he tries to be honest. And I'm not talking politics here. I'm just saying when you try to be honest with people, they hate you because you are what you are. They're thinking it, but they won't say it. They don't have the gall to say it. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't take gall to say it. It just takes being honest to say it, okay? Now, that should take the fear from you that you are not interpreting his word, but you are seeing God's interpretation of his own word by manifesting it. Now, he said how we would do it, and that's the way that he must keep his word. When he said these signs shall follow them that believe, he meant just that. He didn't say you're going back to Pentecost because you pray for the sick or you see signs and wonders. He never said that. So why do they say that? You see, they're misinterpreting the prophet. A few years ago, we spoke from Brother Bram's sermon entitled The Masterpiece, where he took the subject of the church rejecting the word and squeezing out the life of the word. All right? In other words, you all seen the parable of Christ, and you know, he says that, said because the cares of this life choked off the word. All right? Well, they think, you know, oh, you're preaching about a squeeze or something. I'm not preaching about a squeeze. I'm preaching about the fact that God, that the cares of this life is squeezing out the life of the word, and you better be careful. That's the thing the bride has to worry about. Well, the bride doesn't have to worry about the squeeze. The squeeze is coming. She has to worry about getting choked off from the cares of this life, okay? Now, we showed how the cares of this life have entered into the church, and the people have lost their heart for the word because they have become soft, and they have lost their focus on God's word in favor of focusing on the cares of this life. How many Super Bowl parties do you think will go on this year in the so-called message people? How many? Come on, it's on Sunday. I wouldn't play on Sunday. I'm glad I quit before I had to. Yeah, in fact, I wouldn't have had to because the Holy Spirit kept telling me when I was in the trials, he kept saying, what do you profit if you gain the world but lose your own soul? You see? Now, in paragraph 136, Brother Bram, from the Masterpiece, he said, "When that denominated, but what denominated dies, like life in Luther went to make Wesley, and from the Wesley it went to Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed, and on to Pentecost comes out of the Wesley until that time. The reason that Pentecost come out of Wesley because it was no denomination. Pentecost was." Then Pentecost went to denominate, and what did it do? It turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. Now, see, it looks genuine, but it's not. How many churches, you know, preach this message thinking they're genuine, and they're not. They're not saying what the prophet said. They're twisting it and making it say some Pentecostal thing. And he said it's a million miles beyond Pentecost. And then what happened? It died right there. Notice that he said, as soon as it began to denominate, right there it died. And Brother Brown said, it only takes two people to make a denomination. And so we saw that denomination shows that the life has gone out. Because to denominate means to set a specific value on that thing. When we talk in terms of currency, we say, what denomination of bills do you have? Now, the word denomination, according to our dictionary, has several meanings, but they all speak of one central theme. And let me just go back on the thought here that it all takes two people to agree in something to denominate, or organize and denominate. Well, Brother Branham, remember, he said before his fateful trip from Tucson to Jeffersonville, where he was killed in Texas, he said there's 17 different versions of this message right now. So what is it? 17 different denominations claiming the message. 17 different denominations claiming the message. But they didn't have it right, so they were wrong. So they weren't in the message, they were out of the message, but they were using the message to gather themselves, whatever, okay? Well, anyway, the word denomination, according to our dictionary, has several meanings, but they all speak of one central theme. While I read the definitions, I want you to think in terms of what theme carries throughout these definitions. Number one, a large group of religious congregations united under a common faith and named and organized under a single administrative and legal hierarchy. All right. Number two, one of a series of kinds, values, or sizes, as in a system of currency or weights. Cash registers have compartments for bills of different denominations. The stamps come in 25 cents and 45 cent denominations. All right. Number three, a name or designation, especially for a class of people. So if you are a Thunders person, you're a denomination. If you're a Perusia person, you're a denomination. If you're a Jesus, you know, Jesus is the Son and God is the Father, then you're a denomination. I'm sorry, you know, if you're two souls, you're a denomination. So, in other words, if you take one thing and run with it, you are a denomination. So, I'm not saying if you believe in the Perusia, you're a denomination, or you believe in God having a son and sons, you're not in a denomination. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying, if that's your focus, then yes, you are. You have denominated yourself. Now, it does not matter what they hold to, for a vindicated prophet told us when they denominate, they die right there. So can you see how denomination has come into the message and affected the message? Now, Brother Brown said the message itself will never denominate because if you got it all, you see, then you don't have denomination. But if you just take a point here and a point there and focus on that, you have denominated. So you see that to denominate means certain death to the church. And what does that mean? It means that the life has left it, and they are now holding to a value that they have assigned. All right? In other words, if the word they preach and emphasize was a certain thing, then if God brings further light upon that certain thing, and the people see that other thing does not hold the same value to them as the thing they have already got, then they turn it aside, and right there they have denominated. In other words, if you see that the Perusia was correct, and God gives you further light to see the Father and the Son are actually different, you know, Brother Brown says there's differences between the Father and Son, and then you just denominate right there, well, you finish. I'm sorry. Because when John 14:12 comes along, you don't see it. It shows that you have denominated. You understand? In other words, whatever light God shows us, we should be open to that light, not just form a clique around a certain piece of the word. That is why that those hold to the attitude that, bless God, we have a prophet, and will not open themselves to other ministries that God gives the church, such as a true fivefold ministry, those people dry up and the life goes out of them. Now, John said in 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Us is plural. He that is not of God heareth not us. Us is plural. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, Paul was the messenger of the age. He'd be included in that us. But John they called him John the Evangelist, but he's actually an apostle. John the Apostle, he said us. That's inclusive. You can't take parts of, I'm a Pauline, but I won't take what John said, or won't take what Peter said, or won't take what James said, or won't take what Jude said. You take it all, okay? And what if God sends them a minister and they refuse the ministry of the word? Then they refuse the Holy Ghost, because the Apostle John told us that the Holy Ghost is the teacher. And what if that minister leaves? He's taken off the scene. And the people refuse to hear any other gift that God has placed in his church. Then the people will never come to maturity, and the life will move on, and they will dry up and miss what God continues to do through the gifts he has placed in the church. Paul told us that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the church. That means the finishing off or coming into maturity and full expression. So when you turn down the fivefold ministry and to make it a one or twofold ministry, it means the people have placed a certain value upon that one or two ministries, and they have shut themselves off from the further light upon God's word. Now, if Alpha becomes Omega, and the ministry that was in Alpha takes place in Omega, then there was Paul, the prophet of the age, was there, right? But so was John. He's an apostle. So is Peter. He's an apostle. So is Jude. So is James. You see, so you can't say, well, it's all in the prophet. No, the prophet said the light comes to one who is vindicated, and then it goes out from those who have been faithfully taught. Okay? So you've got to take what God brings you, or you just shut yourself off from God. And they shut themselves off from the light. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship, and the blood of Jesus Christ covers your mistakes. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about further light as though that light is additional light. I'm talking about further understanding of that light that God has given to us. Because remember, William Branham did not come down with a shout, but God did. All right? But William Branham's mouth was used to present the truth that God wanted the people to have. But he's also given a fivefold ministry, his voice. Yeah, I say his voice because you say, well, it's just the voice of God. You know, the voice of God is William Branham. No, I'm sorry, the voice of God is not William Branham. He's part of the voice of God. It's the word. He said, I'm preaching what Paul preached. I'm not preaching what William Branham preaches. I'm preaching what Paul preached. It's the same word, it's the same voice, it's the same word, okay? So you say, well, we have had brother so-and-so, and so we don't need any others. You know, that is so carnal, that sounds just like the Corinthian church. Paul said, some say, well, I'm of Apollos, so why would I need Paul, right? And some say, they're of Cephas. And others say, well, they're of Paul. And then the Apostle Paul said, are you not carnal? Did Apollos die for you? Did Cephas die for you? Did Paul, the apostle of the age, die for you? No. Who died for you? Jesus. So open your Bibles. You're going to hear right from him, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 1:12 says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Were you baptized in the name of William Branham? No. So there's a voice of God is beyond William Branham. It's the word. And if William Branham preaches it, that's the voice of God to you. If your pastor is preaching it, it's the word of God to you. If a teacher preaches it, it's the word of God to you. That's the voice of God. Remember, there's many voices in the river. You know, the river said there's many voices, right? In Revelation, many voices, okay? Now, I'm not talking about different voices. I'm talking about people say the same thing. They're echoing. And again, in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with the meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. In other words, you're just carnal. You're like a babe. For you are yet carnal, he says. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not yet carnal? Is there not envy and strife between groups in this message? Then they're carnal. And if you get caught up into it yourself, you're carnal. All right? You're walking as men. For while one would say, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not yet carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. So get your eyes off the vessels and get your eyes on the one God who is using and manipulating all the vessels like a great puppeteer. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. Oh, but just a minute. You said he plants. Yep, that's one person. He's water. Yep, that's another person. But yet, how can they be one? It's the same doxa, the same logos, okay? And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now listen, the man plants and the other comes along and waters to do what? To give the increase. But he's not giving the increase. And he that planted didn't give the increase, but God gives the increase. You see, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, men. You are God's building. Now, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if a man build upon this foundation, you know, let's say gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, if the light that God continues to shed abroad by the Holy Ghost is turned away because it did not come from your champion, then it shows that you have never received the light and thus the life of God, but rather the vessel only that God used. And when you resist the working of God in any form, it shows you also resist God himself. Even Jesus himself said, John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. Not whosoever receives a prophet that I send receives me, but whosoever receives whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. So to say I accept his prophet, but not his teacher, is to say I really don't trust that God can keep his word safe. And to say I accept his teacher, but not his apostles or evangelists or pastors, means that you are carnal, as the apostle Paul told the Corinthian church. And to be carnal shows the life is not there. And so they are relying on form only, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, having a form of godlikeness and denying the power thereof. And God told us the power of God is in his word. From a sermon called Seed Is Not Air with a Chuck, Brother Branham was talking about how Sarah tried to make the promise happen by giving her concubine to Abraham. She thought that would fulfill the promise that God made to Abraham. But God said it would come through Sarah. You've got to take every word that he says. But that is how carnal believers always think. And I'm sorry, but if you look in the Bible, it started off with Eve. She was not in the original creation. She was a byproduct of Adam. So she'll be there because she's part of him. But she really messed up and caused all this death and sickness in the world. Then you get Moses. And Moses, you know, his wife was just kind of hard-nosed. You know, she took something that she could have assisted her husband or at least reminded him to do it. But, you know, she took it and she did the job. That's fine. She stepped in the breach for Moses. But she threw him at his feet. That was wrong. She got angry. That was wrong. Then you got Sarah. You know, Sarah, God gave him a promise to Abraham. He says, you know, that you'll have a child. In fact, God had told him, you know, that you'd have the child. But you know what? She couldn't wait. Oh, she was getting old. She was 75 years old. So she says, well, you know what? I got this young girl that's helping me. She's my servant, but you know what? Have it through her, and then I can claim it. Well, that didn't work out so good, did it? Because she got angry and she got mad and everything else. And then you know what she did? She blamed it on Abraham. Now, the only fault I got with Abraham is that he listened to his wife instead of listening to God. Okay? Of course, then you have other people during the Bible, you know, other wives in the Bible that kind of spoke up, like Noah's wife. You know, I remember seeing a movie one time about that, and Noah was saying, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And she goes, well, then patch the roof. So, you know, spend your time patching the roof and not building such a silly ark. Well, you know, that's stupid. But you know what? She's going to be there too. You'll see Eve. You'll see Sarah. You'll see. But you know what? Those women will realize how they missed it all because they were focused on the daily activities around them instead of focusing on the promise of God. Okay? But as I said, the reason why they did not trust the work of God to work out his promises is because they really didn't trust his word. So they try to trust them, they try to work them out for themselves, and in doing so, they always miss the promise. That is what Brother Ram said. He was saying in his sermon, "Seed is not air with a shut." Now, true, it is Sarah trying to get the promises all fulfilled, you see, in a great, like the church today, a great revival, our time by what? By a perverted promise. How are you going to do it when God never did bless organization? He never did use organization. When a message went forth and they organized, it died right there. And when I was in the Philippines in the year 2000, I had meetings in Manila. And the brothers that were there, there's one brother there, and he was passing out tracts, you know, that were saying that God and Jesus were one. You know, and he put about 12 quotes from Brother Branham said God and Jesus were one. And I looked every one of those quotes up and found Brother Branham, he didn't say that. He might have used those words, but that was only half what he said. He said because God was in Jesus. God was in Jesus. God was in Jesus. So he just missed the target altogether. But then he went around organizing 100 ministers into an organization so that they can have more legal status with the state. He denominated right there. He's lost. I'm sorry, he's lost. All right? Now, you might say, well, you know, who are you to say he's lost? Because Brother Branham said he's lost. He said, the minute you organize right there, you die. He's dead. Okay? When the message went forth and they organized it, it died right there. I challenge any historian to show me where it ever raised again. It died right there and stayed right there. And so today the churches in the Philippines, you know, they all go out and have mixed bathing. And, you know, they're not wearing bathing suits, they're wearing their clothes. And so how many ever, well, I won't say it, but, you know, back in the 70s, they had mud wrestling and stuff like that. You know, some of you that were back in the 70s, you know, you've heard of it anyway, you maybe didn't see it. But, you know, you can see every part of a person right through their clothing. That's what they're doing is by having these mixed bathing. And Brother Branham says, stay away from it. But they're doing it. That's what's denominated too. Now, God just moved right on out of that carrier into another one. Right on out of the Lutheran into the Methodist. Right on out of the Methodist into the Pentecostals. Now, he's moved right on out of the Pentecostals into the seed because he has to be the seed. You can't beat nature. There's nothing else there for it to happen but seed. So the seed will produce itself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same pillar of fire showing the same signs, the same power, the same God, the same miracles, the same things. Vindicated the word and the Bible just exactly. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's leading tonight. God help us to see it and believe it, sure. Now again from his message, Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, what happened to Luther as soon as Luther saw the pillar of fire? Why, he followed it. But what did he do after Luther's day? They organized a church called Lutheran. Well, haven't they organized Brother Branham's message and called it the message? We're a message church. We're a Christian church, believes the Bible. We don't call it, we're a message church, but we're a church who follows the message. There's a difference. Then it died right there on the organization because it's just the Catholic Church. Then the first thing you know, along come Wesley, the pillar of fire moved right out of that organization and went on. Wesley saw it, and away he went after it. As soon as the first round died out, they organized it, called it the Wesleyan Methodist or the Methodist Church. When they organized it, right, it died right there. Then the Pentecostal scene and going on. Now, from justification under Luther and sanctification under Wesley, they saw the baptism of the Holy Ghost back to the original blessing. Here they went after it, oh my, went out and began to speak with tongues and the power of God working through them. And what did they do? They organized it. It died right there. What died right there? Pentecost died right there. But now the pillar of fire is moving on. It's moving again. It'll never one time did an organization ever rise up that didn't die and never come back again. I challenge any historian. And so you see, the minute men begin to talk of organizing the message or even the doctrine of the message, or they try to take over a man's ministry like they tried to in Africa, whether to protect it, I went over there and I trained up a bunch of ministers. And then they said, when I wanted to come back in 2009 to a certain church, the one that where the Holy Spirit was seen over the church in the form of a rainbow, they said I couldn't come. I had to go through them. Now, they were saying I was mentoring them. I wasn't mentoring them. But they said I was mentoring them. And then when their mentor wanted to come, they wouldn't permit me. So I just went around them. I said, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Who are you? Who do you think you are? And so I just cut them off altogether. I have nothing to do with those brothers. They're denominational. And so you see, the minute men begin to talk of organizing the message or even the doctrine of the message, or they try to take over a man's ministry, whether to protect it or some other motive, they die right there. I remember years ago, and I was talking to Brother Vail, and I said, Brother Vail, I said, can I get a letter from you saying that I have the right to publish your materials? He said, yes, you do. We've worked together all these years. And so he put it in a letter, said, Brian, we've worked all these years together, and you have my full permission to publish my ministry. And he said, why did you say that? And I said, well, because Brother Vail, I said, there are men, a certain pastor told me that he was talking to a pastor who said, as soon as Brother Vail is gone, we're going to claim everything of his and no one else will have permission to it. So we'll be in charge of it. Brother Vail didn't want that. So, we put his sermons on the website, and that just kind of sidetracked all what they had plans to do. All right. And if the ministry allows it, then the ministry dies along with them. And the pillar of fire will move right on. And those who gravitate to organize will miss the rapture. It will all be over very soon, my brothers. So be very careful not to organize what God is doing. Just let go and let God have his way. Now let's let's follow through with what Brother Bram is saying here, because he really nails down the attitude that lets you know that the attributes and characteristics of organization, okay? So from Jehovah Jireh, he says, I'm looking in the face there of one of the best there is in the nation. That's right. A historian of the historians is sitting right with us. And I'll ask that man or any other man to ever show me one time that a church ever organized, but it didn't die and stay dead. It never did rise again in the history of the church or of the world. Never did. God don't want that. God wants us to be free in him. He wants us to a place where we can accept all of God, not stay on this mountain, but move out Abraham's seat. Now, you say you're against organization. No, sir. Organization's all right, but you draw a boundary line, cut everybody out, but the fellow that don't believe just like you do. The thing we got to do is stretch out our arms to Lutherans, Methodists, and all. to a place where we can have fellowship one with another while the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. Till we get to that, we'll just die. Sit right here and shrivel up like an old shriveled up apple. And there you become as puckery as a persimmon and sit around, well, I belong to so-and-so. Oh, my. No more life coming into it, see? You just can't do that. No, we've got to come and be in Christ Jesus. We're heirs, joint heirs with him now till we separate ourselves from the things of the world. Now, when Paul said, I'm a Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this and that. Was Paul against Paul? Was Paul speaking against Paul? No. So if you say, well, you know what? It's not just William Branham, it's whoever is reflecting what he says and moving on with the light. But you say, you spoke against Brother Branham because you said it's not all of Brother Branham. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the messages are typos, okay? It opened up the word to us. Brother Vail's ministry opened up the word to us. Mine is doing the same. But I don't throw out Brother Vail's and my own because Brother Branham and sit and listen to tapes and that's it. Now, the tapes will help you. That's true. But Brother Branham never covered one subject in any one of his sermons. He went all over the place. And he did that on purpose. He said, we have to say the word in such a way as to cause some to ponder and some to leave among us. So we're not against Brother Branham, but we're against the idea that you only have one person that you can listen to, okay? Now, getting back to where Brother Branham said from the masterpiece, how many ever seen a seed of wheat start to grow? What's the first thing? It's just exactly like the seed, but it's a husk. See the three stages, stalk, tassel, or the pollen, then the husk. And then out of the husk comes the original seed. And that's what we're trying to produce with this message. What's the message? It's the word. We're trying to produce the original what you were before the foundations of the world. Trying to get back to the doxa of God, the thoughts of God, so that you reflect only what God says. Well, then out of the husk comes the original seed. Not a seed, it was the life of the seed growing through this time, growing through this to come to the seed. Amen, amen. Do you see it? What is it? A resurrection, coming back to a masterpiece again, like the one that went in. Pentecost came out of Wesley because Wesley was an organization. Pentecost come out as no organization and then turned to one. It had to make the husk. The true word of God, a true word of life on it, was on its way then to the original grain through the three stages, through the stalk, then into the pollen, from the pollen into the husk, and from the husk it made seed. Stalk, tassel, and then husk. Living, they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life, but when they organized, the life moved on out of it. That's proved by all of history. Never an organization ever done anything after it organized. It was dead. That's right. Watch the life traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice what they have done. All these have done is proved by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be useful to him again. Organized is laid on the shelf. There never has been in all the history of the church after it's organized, but what it died. And the organization died and never did raise again. Can't you see it? Men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature and the word coordinating together and proving it right here that this is the truth, that this is the truth. That life leaves the stalk to make the tassel. From the tassel, it makes the husk. And from the husk, it goes into the original again. Notice, never again to be useful to him. How noticeable this life is in its travel in the corn of wheat that it is in the tree. God called his people like a tree. Okay? See, the life goes down in a tree and comes back again. Goes down and comes back up. See, it goes down and comes back up. But in the corn of wheat, it goes up from the original stalk through the stalk, tassel, and husk. And the thing that it passed through, it dies, so it can't get back through it again. What is it? It's no use anymore. It goes on to its perfection. Amen. Don't you see why he never used an organization? He can't get back in it again. It's dead. But the life passes on from one to another. See, they put creeds and inject. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word out. See, he's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on. Now, notice how much in this message Brother Branham is hitting here against organization. And the sad part is that people who should know better end up organizing around a certain ministry or personality instead of holding only to the Word of God and focusing on that Word and drawing the life from that Word. But to organize, he said, is death. And to organize then is no different than to denominate. To do so is to die spiritually. Even Jesus taught us that. He said, those that organize are to be gathered for the burning. You don't burn fresh, green things. You burn old, dried out things, whether it's wood or stalks or husk or whatever. Green shows that there's life, and it does not burn easily. But that which is old and dried out burns quickly. In Matthew 13:24 says another parable, putting forth of them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went their way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles and to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, notice Jesus points out the fact that two very different types of life seed will be planted alongside of each other in the same field. The field represents the world, and the sowing is done first by the owner of the field. And then his enemy cometh into his field and imitates his sowing, but with a different seed. Now, you say, yeah, but you know what? In the message, everybody's the same. No, they're not the same. You know, over in Africa, there was 300 people committed suicide, and they found amongst the people message books. Now, did Brother Branham ever teach suicide? No, but the pastor sure did, and he escaped it all. But everybody else died, like Jim Jones, okay? So, there was a minister in Africa who gathered a group around a tree, and he started to preach about Brother Branham was God, and Jesus was only his servant. And when he did that, his head swelled up to the place that he died. I mean, his head just it blew up like a pumpkin, and just he died. And I've seen pictures of it. So listen, just because you claim to believe the message doesn't mean nothing. There's 500,000 people in DRC, and there's just about as many different denominations in this message as there's, well, there's, I mean, it's, I was going to say as there's Hogan's ghost, but I don't know how many ghosts that Hogan has. So anyway, but if Brother Brown could say there's 17 different versions of the message before he died, what is there today? All right. Now notice, Jesus points out the fact that two very different types of seed will be planted alongside of each other in the same field. The field represents the world. The sowing is done first by the owner of the field, and then his enemy comes into his field and imitates his sowing with a different kind of seed. How many ever planted a garden? Well, you're the owner of the garden, aren't you? How many ever had weeds come into your garden that you didn't plant? Well, who put them there? The enemy did. Okay, so it wasn't you. You're the owner. It was someone else. It was, or it was the wind or whatever, the spora. Now, if we are interested in the facts of this parable, we see there is one field that the seed is placed in, a woman, i.e., we are the husbandry. There are two sources of seed, the owner of the field and his enemy. There are two seeds sown, identifying two different life forms or natures, the wheat and tares. The tare seed is an intrusion, but is allowed to grow up alongside of the wheat until the harvest, for the sake of the wheat, until the wheat is mature enough to withstand a separation. Does it sound familiar? God allowed the serpent to bring forth an intrusion of life, to mix up the river of life, so you have two seeds. All right. Then we have separation, and that brings on warfare. It always does. There is to be a binding and a bundling of these tares. The tares are destined for burning. The wheat is to be gathered but not bundled, and it is to be placed in the storehouse of the owner. Now notice the two seeds are gathered, are allowed to grow up side by side until the time of the harvest. Then a separation is to take place. First there will be a gathering together of the seed, which the enemy sowed. The tares will begin to gather together first. Jesus used the word deo in describing this binding together. The word actually means to bind by placing under obligation. I've gone over this before. Now, this binding is needed in order to control the assembly of the tares. Because if you get outside of their control, they don't want you in the church. So you're made to feel unwelcome. And by placing the people under obligation or binding them through fear, it takes the people from having a focus on the word and turns them towards organization. So we see this parable that organizes that organization binds the people, keeping them from searching further for more light than what is available in their church. And this is done through programs. Look at every big church and you will see that the people are not content to come and hear the minister preach, but you will find many programs going on in those churches. The larger the congregation, the more programs to keep the people. And you know what? The larger the congregation, the better the music is. Now, I'm not saying your music is bad, okay? I love your music, actually, and it's played around the world. You know, I've gone to churches in Peru, and they're playing a tape that they had made of you guys' pre-services, okay? So what I'm saying, though, is it's entertainment, okay, instead of the word. Now, after the tares are bound, Jesus tells us that they are then placed into bundles. Now, in using the word bundle, Jesus is telling us that there is a certain characteristic concerning the binding together. Although the word bundle is a word which can mean binding, Jesus used two different words in describing the process which takes place. He says the reapers will bind them into bundles. He never said into one bundle, but into bundles, plural. Thus, we see the word bundles further defines a process that these tares must go through before they are ready for the burning. They are bound first and then bundled. The use of the plural tells us there will be many different bundles, just as we see that there will be many different denominations. They are gathered first. This gathering could suggest a very loose coming together, but by adding the word bundle to further define the binding process, Jesus shows us form and symmetry and purpose will be involved in how they will be presented for the burning. A bundle is not a ragtag collection of sticks thrown together in any old direction, but a bundle suggests to us that all the tares in each bundle will be lined up together, all going in the same direction, all the same value, measure, or purpose. In other words, you take sticks of like character, all right? Or as the Bible says, every seed after its kind, right? You take sticks that are long, about this wide, this or this around, and you put them together. Then you take bigger sticks, you take smaller sticks. You can come up here, and I could have a pile of toothpicks, and I'll give you a rubber band, and you'll be able to bind those rubber band around the toothpicks, right? If I had a plate full of seeds up here, and I gave you a rubber band, you think you could bind the seeds together? No. See, so that's exactly what he's saying here. Their union into a bundle or assembly will make them a more efficient means by which to burn them all, because he just has to take one bundle at a time, and he's got them all. You know, take the Catholics, put them in the fire. Take the Presbyterians, put them in the fire. Take the Lutherans, put them in the fire. Take the Baptists, put them in the fire. See, they're all bound by the same doctrines and creeds and everything else. All right? But you can't do that with the word because it's a bunch of seeds. All right? And so we see how organization is a means by which the tares are gathered and assembled together. The church is bound first by a false word, and then by organizing around that false word, they assemble the people into a more efficient and profitable means by which the whole group can be readied for the burning. And thus, when they have captured the minds of the people through fear or organization, they cause the people to receive in their mind a certain assessment or a certain valuation. And that valuation or assessment is denomination. In other words, if you don't believe the parousia, you're not welcome in our church. Well, I've never said that. But I've been in churches where if you don't live within 50 miles of that church, you're not going to make it. They think. Thus, we could see clearly that the false vine is the organized church. For organization is what binds them together. Then, if this be so, one of the main attributes of the false vine will be its ability to organize numbers and thus utilize efficiencies to preach their gospel. Now, a bundle does not represent a loose-knit organization, but one which has structure and symmetry, as I said before, all going in the same direction. You don't put one this way, one this way, one this. That's not a bundle. That's a pile. All right. A bundle is you bundle them. You bundle them so you can tie them up and burn them. Every stick is heading in the same direction, and they are there for the same purpose. And they must conform to some standard in order to fit within the bundle. Now, let me see if this is not exactly the picture Jesus speaks, himself is speaking of concerning the two seeds. To fear is not of God, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So then we can see that this, that we have, that to have fear, it shows you don't have a sound mind, okay? Now, in paragraph 18, from Lean Not to Your Own Understanding, Brother Branham said, you know the Bible said you can believe a lie and be damned by it. See, that's exactly the truth. They form, no matter what the Word says, Word of God says, they lean to their own understanding, they lean on it, they believe on it, they think it's the truth. You can keep believing a lie over and over and over till it's the truth to you. That's right. How many ever told a fish story? Oh, my goodness, that fish was this big. Next time you tell it, it's this big. Next time you tell it, man, that fish was this big. You can believe a lie over and over and over again until you finally believe the truth. Just like the woman that accused, the man that, oh yeah, I think sometime around 30 years ago, but I'm not sure, it might be 20, it might be 10, I'm not sure, and I saw him, we were in Bergdorf's, and he took me into the lingerie room and stuff like that, and then, you know what, there was a movie about in 1990, it was exactly the same thing. The woman says, yeah, he took her into Bergdorf's and into a lingerie closet and he raped her there. So it's just stupidity. People don't have a mind. They believe the ungodly truths are all said. And you say, well, it had to be right because he's had three wives. I mean, let's face it, he was a playboy, so, it must be true. And listen, I agree when he said she's not my type. I mean, there are certain types that you like and certain types you don't like. For the man to say that, they say, oh, yeah, it just shows how, what a person he is. Well, listen, just don't believe everything you hear, okay? Especially in this time, because I'm telling you, there won't be a 2024 election. If there is, it'll be worse than the 2020. And, 2020 was worse than 2016, and yet they tried to cheat in 2016. In 2020, they got their man in. You don't think they're going to cheat again in 2024? I mean, the whole thing is corrupt. The whole thing is rigged. And Brother Brown says, I don't even vote anymore because they know who's going to go in. All right. So God proved us the truth because it is the truth. And he vindicates it. He does his own interpretation of it. How do they do? How do they get to this? They do it by their culture, their education, of their understanding of the degree of doctor's degree and so forth that they have come for some certain seminary and learn these things. Now, not to get on politics, I don't believe, look, Trump's just as bad as the rest of them, okay? They're all just... But I'll say this. Bolsonaro from Brazil has been accused of insurrection, accused of... and a bunch of people around him accused of insurrection because, you know what? They said, hey, the votes were wrong. The machines cheated us out of the vote. Well, didn't Hillary do the same? Why isn't she persecuted? Why wasn't Al Gore, remember the thing about the, what do they call them, little chats or something like that? Huh? Yeah, right. You know, so they're okay. They can say what they want. They can say, you know, that Trump was in illegitimately for 4 years and Hillary's still saying it, and yet it's wrong for him to say I was cheated out of it. You see, he was. The whole thing's rigged and the whole nation is rigged and it's going to hell. And I, you know what? I just want to get out of here before it does, okay? But they do it by their culture. They're using the same tactics in Brazil to take the ex-president, Bolsonaro. They've denied him even his passport to leave the country. They want to crucify him. They want to rub him into the ground and do everything they're doing to Trump. Pretty soon you're going to see him with 91 indictments too, because they can't. See, those people don't think any different. They got the same playbook. It's like the NFL. It's all scripted. Now, not every person is scripted, but the big... guys are, I mean, the big shots, you know, the ones that make the $50 million a year or higher. You know, all they got to do is say, look, if you want to continue with your salary, just, you know what, we're going to have some people fall down and bump into each other. And so you're going to have a clear sale. So just catch the ball, you know, catch the ball so you get in. But then fall on the 2-yard line so that they so that you don't get over, because really we want to keep the point spread because... you know, Vegas is running football now, so we want to keep the point spread so that, you know, it's within 3 points or 7 points. And, you know, we make it interesting. And so all the people are out there watching the Roman gladiators thinking that, you know, they're really doing something, and they're not. It's all a bunch of farce. That's why I said pro football. I saw this stuff going on when I was in it. How bad it's gotten now, that's 50 years later. It's a lot bad. It's just, you might as well watch a crapshoot, or you might as well go to the casino and watch gambling, because that's all they're doing. All right? I mean, the Pete Rose thing, well, he was caught with gambling. Well, they're all doing it now. And you know what? They can vote on other games, just not on their own, they say. But how many refs are involved? You know, you see refs tackling or getting in the way of a runner, you know, and he, you know, runner runs this way and he runs over this way. Runner runs back this, or runner changed direction, he runs back. You know, they're getting in their way. I mean, I've seen people tripped by referees laying down on the ground right before the guy gets to them and trips them up, you know, and just different stupid stuff that you wouldn't even see in a high school football game. You're seeing it amongst the professionals. Well, why pay money to see, you know, something that's that ridiculous? So, now, I'm sorry I get off this stuff, but I just see corruption everywhere. You know, it's just in the schools, it's in the medical profession, it's in the politics, it's just in the churches everywhere. Because God doesn't use fear. He said, fear not. Every time the angel of the Lord came to one, the first words out of his mouth would be, fear not, for I have come from the presence of the Lord. Now, we will also find in 1 John 4:18 that perfect or mature love casts out fear, because fear has to do with torment, punishment. Fear causes damage, because when a person is afraid, they become bound by their fear. How many times do you ever see a person get holed up? All of a sudden, why don't you just go take the gun away, you know? Why don't they do something instead of, why don't they throw their pen or their purse or whatever at the culprit? But no. Get out of your car. Yeah. You know, fear has to do with a penalty. It has to do with you freezing and crystallizing in your thinking. Joseph began to fear that Mary had not been faithful, and so God sent his angel to tell him not to fear, to take Mary to be his wife. Ahab was so fearful that Jezebel had to tell him, settle down. All right? What did fear do? It caused Joseph to doubt, and it caused him to stop moving forward with the plan of God for his life. Then when they stop walking in the light, as he is in the light, the life goes out and they dry up and become like the shuck that the wind drives away. In John 18 and 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have life, have the light of life." In John 1, 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." From a man that can turn on the light, Brother Bram says, so life is only by the word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the word of God made manifest. As long as it's just put in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it is made manifest, when you see the product of what is spoke of being manifested, then that is the light on the word. So again, when you're seeing the word manifested all around you, it's the light on this. All right? You put it in a basement, cover it all over, and it'll never bring forth anything because it can't. There's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life if it's a germinated seed. Now, that's the same thing it is with the word. See, the word is God, and when the light strikes it, it brings the word to life again. Every age that has always been has been that. How else could we manifest in him? He is the word. Then he must perfect, he must become a perfect, we must become a perfect reflection of that same word in order to manifest as he manifests. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now notice he said, the life is the light of men. His life is his light or word. If he then is our life must come from his word. Then when his word shall manifest itself, our life must also manifest the same thing. Then as Paul said, it is not our life, but his life in us that is manifesting. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Then what gets manifested? It can only be his word. And where does fear fit in? Not at all. Fear has no place in the kingdom of God, but fear is one of the main rules that are set up to hold and maintain a large body of people. Now, in closing, we got, what time is it? Okay. I just like to say this. I woke up the other morning to a dream. It was a very different kind of a dream. I was on the other side. I was with David. David pointed to his sons. They were all standing like on a, almost like a bleacher, you know, or like on a stage, and they had different levels. And each level was a different year. And, you know, because David had like 300 kids in one year. And they were with their spouses. I didn't see their children there because their children were down on one of the lower tiers, okay? But I saw his sons. And then I saw, off to the left, I saw David's youngest son and his wife. Then I looked at David, and he was young, and he was with just one wife. And I looked at him, and he didn't have a crown on his head, didn't have a staff in his hand, didn't have a throne. He was just a brother, just a brother. And the Lord showed me, when we get to the other side, we're not going to have a hierarchy. We're not going to have big eyes and little U's. Elijah's going to be your brother. Moses will be your brother. God said, I am that I am, and he expects us to be what we are. Not what someone else wants us to be. He expects you to be what you are. So if you have differences, so what? That's not what the main thing is. The main thing is him. We have the same father. I mean, I could take and show you, and I will next week. But I'll just, for a little preview. Why are they all there? Because God put them there. They didn't put themselves there. You know, he said, I look upon Israel, and it's not because of the size of Israel or the strength of Israel. He said, that I love you. He said, it's because I chose you. God chose us. You look at Hebrews 11. Read the entire verse. By faith, by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By revelation, where did he get it from? God. By God revealing to Abel, it's not something he worked himself up to. It wasn't how big his muscles were. Wasn't what accomplishments he did in life. Like, I can do, I've got a bucket list, I'm going to do this and this and this. No, forget the bucket list. Be content. Paul said, whatever stage you're in, be content. And so I saw David as just a brother. I saw his sons as just brothers. I saw his youngest son there, he's just a brother. No big pomp, no big ceremony. They're brothers. It's not what we, like in the athletic world, if I work out this much and I can pump my muscles up this much and this. It has nothing to do with it. You are what you are by the grace of God. You are what you are. Don't get upset if somebody is different. They're supposed to be different. The lily is not like the rose. The rose is not like, the dragon lily. I mean, they're all different. If we let our back grass grow up here, we'd have lilies and we'd have purple. What's a purple flower? I don't even know the name of it. It's actually a weed, but it's got a beautiful flower. There's all kinds of flowers that grow out there. There's maybe 10, 12 species. They're different, but they're beautiful. And you're all beautiful too. Yes, you are. So it's God, 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 God. He's going to put you there because he chose you before the foundations of the world. It's not your striving. It's not your how much can I pray. It's not how good of a person can I be, although it should help. I mean, it should automatically, because like Brother Brown said, I can do whatever I want to do, but I only want to please Christ. So just relax, people. We have a journey yet. Could be this spring. I don't know. Certainly, I think it'll be before any election comes, because I think there's going to be so much chaos. And we're not going to be here for the chaos. The persecution is coming, but we're not going to be here for it. So just thank God. Just love him every day. And just desire, like Don did before he left. He unpacked about five years maybe, or seven? Probably, yeah, at least four or five, I think, maybe even seven. He was just unpacking, getting rid of stuff, selling stuff, just, trying to make it easier for you, I think, so you didn't have to do it yourself. That's what we should be doing, not how much can we get, but what can we get rid of? And just unpack anything that holds us down. So let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we come before you in the precious name, your name, Father, which was in your Son, because Jesus came in his own Father's name. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us unpack. Help us get ready, Lord, for the going home. And help us to relax, because you have everything under control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.